Good morning. How are we? Well, good. I was in unison there. That's quite impressive. Good. Well, I do pray that you are well this morning. It really is a joy for me to be speaking to you this morning. I do pray that God really touches you and impacts you of something of the Father's heart this morning. And this morning we are concluding our Easter series, and today we are covering the ascension of the Lord Jesus. In fact, that is the title of my sermon today, The Ascension. And to recap what has taken place so far, the series started off, if we remember, with the raising of Lazarus. And we looked at the raising of Lazarus from a couple of different perspectives within the story that Kevin and Rachel took us through. And this Jesus, who was overcome with emotion, wept for his friend. And Jesus demonstrated that he is indeed the resurrection and the life when he brought Lazarus back to life. Then the following week, Tony spoke to us about the anointing of Jesus for burial, and that he was anointed as a king just before his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and how he was anointed as king just before his standing before Pilate. And we looked at the significance of that moment. 2 weeks ago, Kevin spoke to us about Palm Sunday, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem as king. It was indeed a historical, accurate event. It did actually happen. And he asked us, who is this Jesus? Who is this man who created all things, yet riding victoriously upon a donkey into Jerusalem? Who is this Jesus? And Kevin asks us, what would we lay down for this Jesus? Would it be palm branches, palm leaves, or would it be our lives? What would we give him? And last week, Neil spoke to us on Easter Sunday about he has risen, he being the Lord Jesus. Death could not hold him. And we as Christians can be certain of his resurrection, that the resurrection gives us hope as believers. Death is not the end. And Neil encouraged us to share this message to those who don't know God. And again this morning, we are concluding that Easter series with the ascension. And if there is only one thing that I want you to take away from this message this morning, it's this. Even though we are concluding our Easter series in this church, in our preaching calendar today, I would suggest to you that the life and ministry of Jesus has not concluded. I'm going to say that over here. I would suggest to you that the life and ministry of Jesus Christ has not concluded. Amen. That is good news. That is excellent news. And you and I get to choose to be a part of that. It's a choice. And it's an invitation by the Lord Jesus to us. So if you have your Bibles, will you please turn with me to Acts chapter 1. And I'll be reading from verses 1 to 11. Again, that is Acts chapter 1. And I'll be reading verses 1 to 11. Now, to give a bit of context, here are the disciples on the Mount of Olives with the Lord Jesus, and some almost 50 days earlier, he descends into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives triumphantly as king. And here he is about to ascend triumphantly as king back to God the Father from the Mount of Olives. And after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples, proving to them indeed that he was alive. He was encouraging them. He was teaching them. He spoke with them. He let his disciples and his followers touch him. Thomas himself put his fingers on Jesus' hands and Jesus' side. and he even ate with them. This proved to his disciples, and Scripture says also to 500 others, that he was indeed alive. So please follow along as I read Acts 1, 1-11, and I'll be reading from the NIV this morning. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They're looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Now, there are multiple things I could speak about today, but for this morning, there are only two points that I would like to stress to you, right? And that is, number one, ascended in victory, and number two, ascended for empowerment. That is, ascended in victory and ascended for empowerment. So ascended in victory. You know, the ascension story itself in Scripture is not something that is necessarily covered a great deal, the event itself. But it is crucially important for Christians in the faith. In fact, when you combine all of the verses in Luke and the Gospels and in Acts, it's no more than 20 verses combined throughout all of Scripture. And I think there's a reason for that. You see, the Old Testament points to the coming king who shall reign and who shall proclaim the kingdom of God to those walking in darkness and brings freedom to the captives, while the New Testament covers the life and ministry of Jesus, who speaks about freedom to the captives while he was on earth, and the continuation of his ministry in and after his ascension. But I want to look at particularly the 40 days Jesus was with his disciples after his resurrection. Now, the 40 days that Jesus spent with his disciples was quite significant. In Luke's gospel, in chapter 9, you read about his accounts of the transfiguration. And in this version of the story, Jesus is transfigured before Peter, James, and John, and is found speaking with Moses and Elijah. Now, in verse 31 of chapter 9, it says this: "They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem." And what's interesting is that the Greek word used by Luke for the word departure is the Greek word exodus. The Greek word used by Luke for departure is the Greek word exodus. Right? And if you are familiar with the Exodus story, you will know that it's a story of Moses being used by God to save God's people from slavery and bondage in Egypt and leading them to a new promised land, a spacious place, a land flowing with milk and honey. You see, Jesus' destiny was to bring people out of true bondage and true slavery and into a new promised land, one that is with God forever. That is now and that is to come. But for the Israelites, that didn't go to plan as we know. They cowered at the very sight of the land. They saw insurmountable walls, and the people were stronger and taller than they were. Kind of like me, but I was better looking. That's a joke, clearly. So they rebelled against God and didn't take him at his word. And God punished them by not allowing them into the promised land. And they spent 40 years wandering the desert. Then after 40 years, Joshua leads God's people into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Jesus spends 40 days with his disciples and some 500 other people after his resurrection. Being the number 40 is not insignificant. You see, it's a prophetic declaration that declares to his followers that he is indeed bringing his people into a true and better promised land. A true and better land that flows with milk and honey. It is a prophetic declaration that takes his people from their sin, that is slavery and bondage, and takes them into a better promised land. And that is life forever with God. Now, the name Jesus is an interesting name. When we see the name Jesus in the New Testament in English, it derives its name from the Hebrew name of Yeshua. And the Hebrew name of Yeshua can be translated to two different ways. One being Jesus and the other being Joshua. And I would suggest to you that this Jesus is a true and better Moses, who takes and leads God's people out of their slavery and bondage. That is our sin. This Jesus is a true and better Joshua, who is the commander of the angel armies and the great shepherd of God's people, who takes God's people into a true and better promised land flowing with milk and honey. And that is a land with God forever. You see, Jesus ascended in victory. And he is now seated at the right hand of God in victory. His victory is our victory for those who put their trust in him. His victory is one that defeated death, and that those who put their trust in him never have to taste death, even though we all do die. But there is life after death. And that is life with God for those who put their trust in God and give them their hearts and honor them with their lives. His victory is one that conquered sin. Sin is what separated us from God, but by and through the blood of Jesus, he cleanses us of every sin. Every single sin. One, past, present, and future. His victory is one that is seated at the right hand of God, and one that reigns with him forever. So shall we reign with God forever. Jesus has ascended in victory, which leads me to my next and final point. He ascended for our empowerment. And I love the opening of this passage today where Luke says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach." And that's an interesting word choice that Luke made there. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. You see, language and wording is important. Anyone who is married knows that the language and wording that you use is important for the hearer. It is. Now, Luke very much could have wrote, I wrote about all that Jesus did or had done, but he didn't. He wrote all that Jesus began to do and to teach. You see, the word began that we find here in Scripture implies that there is a continuation thereof, the ministry and life of Jesus, which we do see in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is called Acts of the Apostles, which I think it should really be called Acts of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus ascended to the Father for our empowerment. The back end of verse 4 says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And skip with me to verse 8 where he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So before Jesus ascends into heaven, he tells his disciples to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's God himself. It's the greatest gift you could ever receive. In the time of Jesus, and even before in the Old Testament, you had the temple. And in the temple was the Holy of Holies, incredibly sacred. And the Holy of Holies was where the manifest presence of God was. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus breathed his last, he spoke the words, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. And then he died. And once he died, the temple curtain, which was 60 feet tall and 20 feet wide, and according to Jewish tradition, about as thick as a hand, tore in two. Tore in two. And I tend to think of it as God's presence was shot out. It was gone. Right? And the Holy of Holies wouldn't have been a very big place. And God's presence was free at last to be with his people. And when Jesus ascended, he ascended so that he would send the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is God himself. So what was the manifest presence of God in the Holy of Holies, now by and through the blood of Jesus, the manifest presence of God, the Holy of Holies, now lives here. The manifest presence of God, what was the Holy of Holies, is no longer there. The manifest presence of God, the Holy of Holies, is here for the believer who gives their hearts to God by and through the power of the Holy Spirit. God's presence lives in you and me. And in my NIV study Bible, Jesus in John 15 refers to the Holy Spirit as the advocate. And your version might have the comforter, the helper, or something like that. But I like the advocate because it can be defined as, quote, a person who publicly supports a particular policy or thing. Someone who publicly supports a particular policy. And the Holy Spirit, the advocate, helps us in our proclamation of the gospel. He helps us in how we communicate. He gives us words of knowledge that unlock particular situations that only God knows of. He might give us the strength to serve, to love, to pray in a way that makes much of Jesus and reveals Jesus to those around us. When was it? About a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit longer, I was working at Bertley Community Church, and there was a particular weekend, or actually a week-long ministry session thing that required me working with a couple of guys from various council estates in and around Newcastle. right? So the point of the week was really to do a bit of community service. Well, my remit was find enough job for them to do, but really tell them about Jesus. People were coming to me for me to tell them about Jesus, which I did. So Wednesday finally rolls around. It was a Monday to Friday type thing. And Wednesday rolls around, and one guy finally asks, "You're an American. What are you doing here? How did you come to be in the northeast of England?" And I looked at him and I said, "Believe this or not, it's up to you, but what I'm telling you is indeed the truth. God brought me here. And he spoke to me. And he told me some almost at this point in time, 8 years ago, God said, one day, whenever I was across on mission trip here in the UK, God said, one day you will call this land home. And he has kept that promise. And I told him that. And he looked at me and he's like, "You're a bit of a weirdo." So I was like, okay. So that night he goes home. And he's, I think at the time, maybe 20. He was living with his grandma, and his girlfriend was living with him. And he's on TV, he's watching a program, and a program called Family Guy, I do not endorse Family Guy, by the way, comes on the TV. And in this particular episode, at this particular time, one of the daughters in this TV program becomes a Christian. She becomes a Christian, and she's talking about on this program about how God speaks to her. Now, to give a bit of context, at the time, there had been roughly 330 episodes of Family Guy made. And this one particular episode, at this particular time, just so happened to be the one that comes on TV at that point in time. Coincidence, I think not. Most certainly, a God moment. And he's watching this, and he's thinking, what is going on? And so he looks to his girlfriend, and he tells his girlfriend about what I had said earlier, and clearly what was on the TV. And she looks at him, and she goes, "You're speaking a load of tosh. Go for a walk. Sort yourself out." Like, it's not happening. So the next day, he comes up to me. He's like, "I really need to speak to you," right? And he tells me all that had happened, what he had watched on TV the night before. And he said, "Can we go to the pub afterwards and get a drink?" Yes, it was noon. Anyways, so we go to the pub afterwards. We did finish our work. We did community service at the community center. We went to the pub, me and my friend there, and my friend and I are just sharing testimony after testimony to this guy about the goodness of God. And he is completely amazed at the goodness of God. Well, all of a sudden, he calls his girlfriend because he had ran out of beer money. That is a true story. He calls his girlfriend and says, "Can you come and bring some cash with you?" So she does. And again, we're still there telling story after story after story of the goodness of God. And she finally comes. She gets a drink. She goes to the bar. She gets a drink. She sits down. And then the boyfriend looks at me and he goes, "Tell her one of your stories. Tell her one of your stories." And as he says that, she looks at him and he makes eye contact with her. And he goes, "Never mind. She won't believe you anyways." Well, in the middle of all that, I'm just sitting there praying. I'm saying, "God, what is it that you want to say to her?" And as soon as he says, "Never mind, don't say anything to her because she won't believe you," God gives me a picture of her doing hairdressing. And so I look at her and I said, "You're a hairdresser, aren't you?" And she looked at me and she started to well up with tears in her eyes. And she goes, "Yeah, I used to be." She goes, "Until someone hit me with a bottle on my wrist, and it's permanently damaged my finger." And she showed me her finger. And she couldn't move it past a certain point. And I said, "I know, because God told me." And he gave me a picture. Well, the boyfriend boyfriend goes, I told you. I told you. And he goes, now I'm going to go smoke. And he gets up and he goes outside to smoke some cannabis, as you do. So, and as he's leaving, I said, can I pray for you? To his girlfriend. She goes, yeah. So I put my hand on her wrist and I said, God, thank you that you hear me. Thank you that you know this girl. I do pray a blessing over her. And I blessed her and I prayed for healing. And I prayed that Jesus would reveal more of himself to her. And in that process, she's just crying. Now, she didn't come to know Jesus that day, nor did her boyfriend. But I am 1,000% confident that they both met with the living God that day. 1,000%. And God left his mark. He revealed his heart to them. I lost my place. You see, a prophetic word unlocked something in this girl that only God and those really close to her knew. These guys met with the living God that day, and they instantly knew just how much God loves them. You know, stories like that, I don't do that often. I don't put myself out there to tell people how much Jesus loves them often. But when I do, Jesus never fails to show up. He never fails. He's the advocate. He is the advocate. And picking back up in verse 8 of Acts 1, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the Greek word there for power is dynamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. It leaves a mark. It's not just a little thing. It's huge. It's expansive. The Holy Spirit that lives in you is one that gives you power, authority, and confirms your identity as a son or daughter of Christ. The Holy Spirit gives you power to pray for, see, and expect the miraculous. He gives you power in your effectiveness, in your witness and ministry for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gives you power to say no to ungodliness. And he gives you power for victory over sin. He gives you authority as a son or daughter to change the spiritual atmosphere around you, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. He gives you authority to tell sickness where to go. And he confirms your identity as a son or daughter. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul talks about how the Holy Spirit is the seal of ownership that God places inside of us. It's a seal. God places himself inside of you and says, you are mine. You're mine. So how do we respond to this? Katie, hello. I've been told you have a word.
That was my defibrillator moment. yes, this week I have been tidying a linen cupboard, and actually a few places in my house I've felt really burdened to get on and do some sorting out, mostly because if I went into it too often there was a risk it would fall in on me and I'd be suffocated and everything else. I am a hoarder. It is the truth. I'm not good at throwing out, but I thought I could relocate things in a neater manner. But as I did it, there were some things I found that I thought, why am I still holding on to this? One of them was a tent. It was Anna's tent. It was our very first tent. I remember our first camping trip near Featherston. I remember going to Days of Destiny in it. I remember one very sleepless night at Budle Bay in it. But it's broken. I know it's broken. It got damaged 10 years ago. But I still have it sitting in this cupboard. And I thought, why? Why have I still got it? Why am I holding on to it when I know it's damaged? And I felt God was saying to me about things in life that we sometimes hold on to that are damaged in our lives. And we won't relinquish them. We won't give them up for some reason. But he wants to deal with it. He wants to take that damaged stuff away. The good bits I can still remember. I don't need the damaged bit to remember the good bits. They're still there. But I felt God saying to me, let go of it. You don't need this anymore. And he's saying that to me about some stuff in my life, some hurts that I've had in my life that I'm still holding on to, that actually they're just cluttering up my life. It's preventing there being room for God to move in my heart. And then there was something else. There was a skirt. I found this skirt. And it's a lovely skirt, and I remember wearing it, and it's still got loads of mileage in it, but it has the tiniest waist. I don't know how I ever fitted it, and I know I never will again. Again, sometimes we hold on to the things that we did in the past, that we managed in the past, that was part of our identity in the past, but actually, it's not where we are now. It doesn't fit us now. It might be for somebody else. I'm going to put it into a charity shop. But it's not for me now. But that's not to say that God doesn't have something equally beautiful and new for me right now. If I just open my eyes to it and make room for it. And I just felt God was maybe saying to me, but possibly to us, is the stuff that we're allowing to clutter our lives that is preventing us from really opening up to what he has for us. So much promise, so much potential. And we were singing on Tuesday a song, and it stuck in my head the whole week. And it was about, I'm going to set my face to seek the Lord. And one of the lines that really hit me was, give my full attention to my God. And I thought, am I doing that? Or am I letting other stuff clutter in and fill me up? So just that's my encouragement to you today. Ask the Lord, what do I need to let go of? What is damaged? What is past? Let go of it. What is the new stuff he wants to bring into your life? And be encouraged by it.
Thanks. Amen. Thank you, Katie. So how do we respond? Well, the ascension is not a somber message. The ascension is a message of great joy and delight. It is a story of victory over death and sin and Hades. It is a story that shows and reveals the lordship of Jesus. He is Lord. He is Lord. And death could not hold him, and nothing compares to him. It is a story of empowerment that empowers the followers of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit, who is God, for the continuation of the ministry and life of Jesus Christ. And can I ask the band to come back up, please? Is that all right? Thank you. So this is the closing of our Easter series, which tells us the story of Jesus. That even though today, here at HCC, we are concluding the story, I can assure you the life and ministry of Jesus lives on today, some 2,000 years ago from when it started. And this Jesus freely gave up his life for every single one of us. He died so that all of our wrongdoings, all of our sin can be washed away. And first, I just want to say that if you're not a Christian today and you haven't given your heart to Jesus and you want to, then I just want to invite you forward to receive him as Lord of your life. And you may be thinking, gee, I wonder what people may think of me if I get out of my seat. And my encouragement to you today is that please don't let what other people think determine your coming and giving your heart and your life to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Equally, if you want to rededicate your life to where all of you is for God, maybe you've strayed from God over the past few days, months, and years, then please do come forward, as I would love nothing more than to pray for you. Jesus can change your life. Jesus can change your life. Secondly, to the rest of you who are Christians, I would ask you the same questions that the two angels asked the disciples when Jesus was taken up to heaven. My brothers and sisters, men and women of Jesus Christ, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. You see, it's time to get on with the job. It's time to once again proclaim to those who are in deep darkness that God has set them free. He has defeated death, and he is now seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us all. Not only is he interceding for us all, but he's coming again soon. We are not living in this life to please ourselves, but to please God, for the honor of God. And if you are wanting a fresh top-up of the Holy Spirit, the filling afresh of the Holy Spirit that, as we talked about earlier, then the prayer team is going to be at the sides, praying for people who wish to do so. Equally, if you have any ailments of any sort, if you're sick, or if you have any pain anywhere, then again, the prayer ministry team would love to pray for you. As we know, they've been trained and they now have black belts. They're highly proficient. Right. The ascension is a joyous occasion. It is an occasion that publicly declares the lordship of Jesus. It was an event that empowered the followers of Jesus for the works of Jesus. That still continues today. The way that Jesus was taken into heaven will be the same way that Jesus will come back from heaven to take what his is. And he's coming again soon. As the last two verses in the book of Revelation says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Thank you so much, Jesus, that you have ascended in victory. And in your victory, Lord, you have empowered us with your presence, the advocate, that it is for our good that you go to the Father. Lord, we love you, we honor you, we praise you. Lord, I do pray for these guys that you would bless them. Lord, I pray that they would have a fresh sense of your spirit and know a fresh sense of your presence with them throughout this week. God, thank you that it's all about you, Jesus, and that nothing can shake your kingdom. It's all about you, God. It's in your name. Amen.